The last alert. The piercing screech tore through the Tuesday morning quiet of Greater Manchester like a banshee's wail. Sarah's iPhone vibrated violently against the kitchen counter, its emergency alert cutting through Radio 2's gentle morning chatter. Emergency alert. UK government severe weather warning. Immediate action required. Seek shelter immediately. Do not go outside. This is not a test. Sarah frowned, glancing out her kitchen window at the perfectly clear October sky. Not a cloud in sight over Stockport. The morning sun cast long shadows across her neighbour's perfectly manicured lawn, where Mrs. Patterson was already hanging out washing. "Bit odd, that," she muttered, reaching for her phone, just as it screamed again. "Emergency alert. UK government. Biological hazard detected. Level 5. Remain indoors. Seal all windows and doors. Await further instructions." Now that made her stomach lurch. Biological hazard? Level 5? She'd never heard of alert levels going that high. The radio continued its cheerful prattle about traffic on the M60, completely oblivious to whatever crisis was supposedly unfolding. A third alert arrived before she could process the second. Emergency alert, UK government, mandatory evacuation notice, proceed to nearest underground station, bring only essential supplies. "Christ," she breathed. "Evacuation?" But the previous message had told her to stay indoors. Her hands shook as she tried to call 999, but the line was engaged. She tried again. Still engaged. Outside, Mrs. Patterson continued hanging her husband's shirts with methodical precision, apparently untroubled by any emergency alerts. Sarah rapped on the window and waved frantically. The elderly woman looked up, smiled, and waved back pleasantly before returning to her washing. Had she not received the alerts? Sarah's phone screamed again, making her jump. "Emergency alert, UK government, nuclear incident, Manchester area, take potassium iodide immediately, radiation levels rising." Nuclear incident? Sarah's breath came in short gasps. Her daughter Lucy was at university in Manchester city centre. She speed-dialed her number with trembling fingers. "Mum, what's wrong? You sound panicked." Lucy's voice was calm, almost bored. "Lucy, love, are you getting the emergency alerts? There's been some kind of nuclear incident." "What alerts? Mum, I'm literally sitting in a lecture theatre here. Everything's normal here. Are you feeling all right?" Before Sarah could respond, another alert screamed through. "Emergency alert, UK government, hostile entities detected. Do not trust anyone claiming to be unaffected. They are not human." The phone went dead. The line to Lucy was gone. Sarah stared at the screen in horror. The message was still there, glowing malevolently. "They are not human." What did that mean? Who were they? And why wasn't anyone else receiving these alerts? She tried the radio again, turning up the volume. Still just normal morning programming, no emergency broadcasts, no interruptions, nothing about nuclear incidents or biological hazards or hostile entities. Her phone buzzed with a text message, not an alert this time. Just a regular text from her neighbour next door. "Morning, Sarah. Noticed you at the window looking distressed. Everything all right?" She looked across to Jim's house. There he was in his front window, mobile phone in hand, watching her with what she'd always thought was a friendly smile. But now, in the wake of that last alert, something about his expression seemed wrong. Too wide, too fixed. His eyes didn't seem to blink enough. Another emergency alert shrieked. "Emergency alert. UK government. Final warning. Trust no one. The system has been compromised. They know you've seen these messages." Her blood turned to ice. They know you've seen these messages. How could anyone know what messages she'd received on her personal phone? She peered through the curtains again. Mrs. Patterson had stopped hanging washing and was staring directly at her house. Her pleasant grandmotherly expression had vanished, replaced with something blank and predatory. Jim was still at his window too, no longer bothering to hide his surveillance. Across the street, more neighbors had emerged from their houses. Mr. Chen from number 47, the young couple from 52, the teenager from 38 who never usually surfaced before noon. All of them standing in their gardens or at their windows, all of them watching Sarah's house with that same empty, hungry stare. Her phone buzzed again, but this time it wasn't an alert. The sender was listed as System Error. Sarah, you weren't supposed to receive these. There are only a few of you left who can see the truth. The emergency alert system was hijacked months ago. They've been using it to identify the immune. You need to run now. Don't trust anyone who claims they can't see the alerts. Don't trust anyone acting normally. The whole street has been compromised, except for you. Underground, the old Victorian storm drains beneath the town centre. There are others like you hiding there. Follow the railway line east from Stockport Station. Look for the red brick maintenance shed. The entrance is behind it. Destroy your phone after reading this. They track through the emergency system. You have maybe 10 minutes before they come. Her hands shook so violently she could barely hold the phone. Through the window she could see her neighbors beginning to move. Not walking, gliding. Their feet didn't quite seem to touch the ground properly, and they all moved with that same unnatural, synchronized rhythm. Mrs. Patterson's head turned 90 degrees to the left without her body moving, maintaining eye contact with Sarah's window like an owl tracking prey. The teenager from across the street opened his mouth, and something that definitely wasn't a human voice began to emit a low, harmonic drone. The others picked it up, creating a thrumming resonance that made Sarah's windows vibrate. She grabbed her coat and keys, shoving her feet into trainers. The droning grew louder now, as if the whole town was singing in that horrible harmony. Through the kitchen window, she could see them all walking towards the house now, still making that horrible sound. Her front door was solid wood, but she didn't fancy her chances if they all reached it together. She had to go out the back. She switched off her phone and smashed it against the kitchen tiles, stamping on the pieces for good measure. The screen flickered and died just as one final message appeared. Emergency alert, UK government, Sarah Mitchell, 42 Rosemary Close. You cannot hide. We are coming. The back garden was mercifully empty, but she could hear the front door rattling. They were trying the handle. Sarah vaulted over the back fence into the lane behind the houses, her heart hammering against her ribs. The lane was deserted, but that horrible droning sound was getting closer. She ran toward the town centre, her breath forming small clouds in the crisp morning air. Behind her, she could hear other sounds now, windows smashing, doors splintering, and underneath it all, that synchronized humming growing stronger. As she reached the main road, Sarah risked a glance back. Her street looked normal from a distance, no signs of the chaos she'd just escaped. But she could see figures moving between the houses with that same unnatural gliding motion, spreading out, beginning to search. A bus pulled up at the stop ahead of her. The driver smiled pleasantly through the windscreen. "Morning, love. You all right? You look like you've seen a ghost." She almost got on the bus. Almost. But there was something about the way he said it. Something about his reflection in the wing mirror didn't quite match his face. She backed away from the bus. "No, I'm fine, thanks." The driver's smile never wavered, but his eyes followed her as she walked away. In the reflection of the bus windows, she could see passengers' heads all turned toward her, all watching, all wearing that same empty smile. The railway line lay ahead. Sarah broke into a run. Behind her, the bus pulled away from the stop, and every single person on the street stopped what they were doing to turn and watch her fleeing figure. The postman, the woman with the pram, the man walking his dog, all of them standing perfectly still, tracking her movement with identical expressions of patient hunger. The droning began again, louder now, as if the whole town was singing in that horrible harmony. Sarah ran harder, her lungs burning in the cold air. She had to reach those storm drains, had to find the others, had to hope that somewhere in this nightmare she wasn't completely alone. From every window, from every doorway, they watched her run, and slowly, methodically, they began to follow. The emergency alert system had done its job perfectly. It had found
From every window, from every doorway, they watched her run. And slowly, methodically, they began to follow. The emergency alert system had done its job perfectly. It had found everyone who was still truly human. And now it was helping eliminate them. As Sarah reached the railway embankment, gasping and desperate, she could hear sirens in the distance. Real emergency services, she hoped. But even as the thought crossed her mind, she wondered, how would she know if the paramedics and police were still human either? The sirens were playing that same harmonic drone. She scrambled down the embankment toward the red brick maintenance shed, praying that whoever had sent that final message was telling the truth. Behind her, the sound of pursuit grew stronger, not running footsteps, but that synchronized gliding motion multiplied by dozens. The shed was exactly where promised. Behind it, half hidden by overgrown brambles, was a rusted iron grate leading into darkness. Sarah pulled it open and slipped inside just as the first of her pursuers crested the railway line. In the Victorian tunnels beneath Stockport, in the musty darkness that reeked of a century's worth of rainwater and decay, Sarah finally allowed herself to breathe. From somewhere deeper in the tunnels came a voice. Human. Definitely human. Sarah Mitchell. We've been waiting for you. The alerts found 12 of us so far in Greater Manchester. Maybe 8 more across the UK. 20 people in a country of 67 million. Above them, the droning continued, patient and eternal, as the hunters settled in to wait. The emergency alert system had been very, very efficient indeed.